This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Minutes after 8 o'clock on the west coast of the United States, 10:08 in the center part of the coast, and 11:08 on the east coast, which means you only got 52 minutes to wait before you eat lunch. Joining me is the All Marine Radio head chef, Pete Kimball Holmes. So, Kim, good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you this morning?
I got no issues. The I just got back. I flew back. I flew back yesterday, and everything's cool. My house could have been dirtier, but it wasn't, and so I'm all right. I got not too many problems right now, so that's good.
Everything is good in your hood.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's fire going on, so there's so much fire from Northern California, it's covered the state down here. So,
no kidding.
Yeah, go figure. So it's really high up in the sky. So, but it's got that yellow kind of tinge to the sky, and so it's weird.
And it's such a joy to breathe that air.
Well, I don't know that I'm breathing it. I might be, but it's because it's really high because you can't smell it. So, but you know, I think California has gone. You know, we're a little weird. And the reason I say that is, I mean, like, I think anybody who grows up in the state of California, you're pretty aware of the environment and all the rest of that stuff, right?
Yes.
And so, you want to protect it because it is a huge part of the state and the state's resources and all of that.
Yes.
However, I think that there's been some regulation in the state that's a little bit much.
Like what?
Well, you can't clear around certain parts of your property. And so, you know, that wild vegetation that dries out, that encroaches, you know, you're very limited in terms of what you can do relative to that. And so... it'll be interesting to see what comes out of hearings or whatever when after the state gets done with this, because I think California's going to have to take a look and say, hey, we're partially to blame for this because we've allowed the tree huggers so much sway in the state relative to the environment that you can't do the basic things that you should be able to do to protect the environment. So, I don't know. So we'll see.
I don't understand that. As environmentally aware they are,
right,
and as Governor Moonbeam says about the forest fires and all that, come on. Clean the dead brush up, for God's sake.
Yeah, there's some pretty strict laws. There's some pretty strict laws around the state about that. And you can see, I mean, so you look at a house, well, how does that thing burn? Because in California, it's not like you can have wood shingles and stuff, you know? You can't. You have to have, you know, ceramic or something else, shakes, that don't burn by law. So anyway, I wanted to ask you, so I was out traveling the last almost 2 weeks, and eating can be a problem because I can't eat wheat anymore. Is there, and you've cooked forever, when you know that somebody enjoys something but they can't eat certain things, are there places you can go to research? Because, well, John's wife, Susie, I was back staying with them since last Friday. And my son and his wife Susie, they're foodies, straight up foodies.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're great foodies.
Yeah. And And John's also an Edie too. He's got like the bottomless cavern. Dude, do you have a stomach or just like a hollowed out inside where this food goes? Because Kim raised him right when he was working for him. That dude, he likes to eat. So anyway.
Well, he always liked to eat. And he was fun to watch eat. And he was fun to feed because the plate always came back clean and I didn't have to wash it.
But she went out of her way to find things that I could eat.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it was way cool. It was way cool. And so she found pasta made of peas, I think. Hold on, she sent me. So when you know that somebody's got some kind of culinary malady, is there a place that you go for people like me? For instance, I love chips and salsa. I haven't found anything that I'm able to eat.
Well,
but Susie did.
Yeah. Well, you find out what you can't eat, and then you read labels terribly, thoroughly, and make sure, like you can't eat gluten anymore.
Well, it's more, I think it's more wheat. And then what I tried to do was I said to myself, okay, let's see. What I said to myself was, okay, maybe it's just so if it's wheat, I could eat corn because so corn tortillas, right? Wrong. Can't eat those either. So I don't know if it's stuff that's, heavily processed that I have these skin reactions to it. So Susie found tortilla chips made out of beans.
Beth gets black bean tortilla chips because she can eat those. And there's pasta made out of rice. There's pasta made out of beans, and we look thoroughly, and she'll look it up on the internet, and a lot of times you'll see these things that say, oh, organic this, organic that, and you start reading the labels, and they have all these coded names for MSG or it's not easy figuring out what the hell can I eat here. And, for example, when I got out of the hospital and I talking to the dietitian, she says, you can't eat dark green. You can't eat spinach. It affects your blood and your heart. You can't eat green bell peppers. You can eat peas and green beans. That's about the only green. And I can't eat romaine lettuce. So
what? Romaine lettuce? Why?
Well, because it's the dark green part of the romaine lettuce. It's the same.
Got
so,
it. Okay.
So I've switched to cabbage, and in the sandwich today, I've discovered this cabbage and sliced cabbage. It's already sliced and packaged with carrots, and I can't eat asparagus all the time anymore.
I ordered
asparagus at the restaurant, and I used to nosh on it all day long.
So my question is. So when I ask you, for anybody who's affected, whether it's wheat like me or whatever, there's no central place that you go to. You just have to start doing your research.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. There, and I'm not aware of it. I'm sure there is a website that can direct you exactly where to go. Beth looks certain items up on the web to see, and we also try to be as organic as possible, not trying to be too far out there for folks. But, you know, sometimes when you get older, your diet changes, and all the processed foods that have been pushed upon this nation all over the world, it affects you eventually.
Well, even, I'll tell you what, I did not realize how much wheat had changed over the generations, and farmers have changed wheat in order to produce more of it, and to make it denser.
Genetically modified.
Yeah, genetically modified by, you know, our great science community in order to produce, you know, more wheat per stalk, right? So if you look at what wheat was when it came here in seed form, it has now been genetically modified to produce more from that same stock. And with those genetic modifications have come health issues for people. And I'm probably one of them. But anyway, yeah, so there's a lot of food documentaries out that will scare the shit out of you. So we don't want to do that today because this is about cooking and eating. I just wondered if there was any kind of central clearinghouse that you said, yeah, Mac, go to this. This is a great website. That talks about different eating disorders.
I am going to research that for everyone and for you and me this week, so we can do a couple minutes next week on it.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. She made I don't know what the pizza dough was made out of, but she made an awesome pizza that I could actually eat. And it was made out of anything wheat. And then I just looked up, she sent me a text message. The pasta is called Banza, B-A-N-Z-A. And it's made, it's pasta shells made from chickpeas. Chickpeas, tapioca, pea protein, and some kind of gum that holds it together.
Yeah.
So there's workarounds. So you can still eat some of the things that you like. For instance, pasta, you can eat if you eat it. So anyway, all right. And this pasta shells made out of chickpeas are available at Target. Comes from my daughter-in-law, Susie. So go ahead.
No, a lot of places like Target will have things like this, but you really, you know, you got to search it out. It's hard. I mean, you have to do a lot of homework to eat today. But that's okay.
It's showbiz, though, right?
Keeps me busy.
Somebody got to do it. So anyway, my guest is the All Marine Radio head chef. He from the great state of North Dakota, Grand Forks. First of all, before we go any further, how's the weather? Anything exciting going on?
It's a hot mofo today.
It's
going to be 94. It's been in the 90s all week around here, high 80s and low 90s. And it's going to be that way through Sunday. And it'll be in the 80s. They say it's cooling off in the 80s. We're hanging on to every temperature we can, because we all know what's coming. But, the weather's been great, man.
Okay. All right. What do we, just for everybody following along out there that follows the cooking segment here on Friday, you can find the recipe that we're going to talk about. Just go to the podcast page. You're going to see a podcast that says, "The Chef Says, Eat the Delicious Asian Chicken Sub." If you click on that, you're going to see the recipe and the pictures that that the lovely Miss Beth is put together for us. So you're going to see all of that. And just so you know, the audio has not been linked to that. So if you press the play button, you're not going to hear it because we're creating what you're going to hear. So I could not create it in the future and then come back and put it on. So anyway,
yeah,
that's the way that stuff works. All right, tell us about you said you either thought about this or this came about as a result of your little hospital stay. Talk to me.
Yeah, I've got to rework my diet. No more 14-ounce ribeye with a baked potato loaded and asparagus. Those days are gone. But we had a sauteed chicken breast. She usually cooks, when she's cooking, she'll cook for 2 days, or if she does a hot dish, we eat it for 2 or 3 days, and that's fine. But she cooked chicken breasts and with sauteed vegetables. She had jalapenos and peppers, and I did a slaw. I'm tired of eating head lettuce. And so she saw this, this slaw in the, supermarket in a bag, and it has carrots and red and green cabbage in it, and it's pre-sliced, and I thought, Jesus, I'm gonna make slaw. So with that chicken breast, I bought some, sesame oil and this, low sodium, Asian, sweet and, hot chili sauce.
Well, let me just hold you up, because Asian food is not really normally on the menu for people that are that have dietary issues, yes? Because it's just the through the roof levels of sodium alone, right?
Yes. And you notice that there is no soy. Now you can find low sodium soy, very low, but normally soy and most Asian sauces are just loaded with sodium, and they could be from anywhere from 120 to 400 or 500 milligrams of sodium per portion, and that's a lot of sodium, man. And my diet says I can eat 1,200 teaspoon of sodium salt a day. Well, Jesus, that's, you can't even cover a box of popcorn with a teaspoon of sodium, for God's sake. So, it's just something I have to be aware of. So, I got to be inventive. And so the next day we had a leftover chicken breast, and she had some leftover sauteed jalapenos and red peppers. And I said, Jesus, you know what? I'm going to do a slaw with a little sesame oil, this Asian chili sauce, and it's like a tablespoon, 2 tablespoons of mayo. And then I make a little the sauce with the oil and stuff, and then I added some slaw. And God, it was delicious.
Hey, Kim, you know what we need? So what we need, those people who have, like, dietary issues, we need more chefs to get those same dietary issues. And then, because what you're talking about is a workaround to the flavor problem, that you look at the sandwich and you're like, okay, normally it would be soy and it would be lettuce and it would be this. Okay, how do I still enjoy these flavors and not put that particular stuff in my body? So I don't want to say that it's a good thing that chefs are going through this, but I will say it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing.
It's called, in today's world, it's called options that won't kill you. and me, like your son, John, who, John can still wade through anything. and eat anything. And I can't anymore for a while, but I finally admit it. That's not easy for folks. It certainly hasn't been easy for me. But, you know, and I allow myself, you know, this loaf of, I bought it at Panera's. I don't know if you have Jimmy John's out there.
Of course. Jimmy John's is everywhere. What kind of bread is it?
Well, it's a French bread. It's like a baguette. And you can just go into Jimmy John's and buy the bread and then take it home and make your own sandwich with your own ingredients. And, Beth took her, sub roll and made a veggie sandwich with mozzarella cheese, which is low fat, low sodium. And her special dietary mayonnaise. She had a great sandwich and I had a good one. But also, if the bread is too much carb for you, you can use just, lettuce wraps around this recipe. You can buy a big green leaf lettuce and wrap it up. Or those of you who can eat romaine, put it in a romaine, lettuce leaf and wrap it up and chop on it. Or you can use a flour tortilla shell, which is a lot less, carbs than a sub roll. So you have options, veering off from this particular recipe, or you can just, serve this slaw over sliced tomatoes and lettuce leaves, and have it as a salad. Now because I have to control my, amount of chicken I eat, I've got a 4-ounce chicken breast that I made this, sandwich with, but I slice the chicken breast real thin. And then it spreads it out, so there's a lot of chicken out of 4 ounces. It's like when you cut, you slice a piece of prime rib and you slice a 8-ounce piece of prime rib. Well, if you put that prime rib on a meat slicer and slice it paper thin, well, you get 4 sandwiches out there, you know, 2 to 4 sandwiches out of that, 2 4-ounce sandwiches out of that, slice because it's sliced thin.
Right.
So that's how you expand the volume of, if you have to cut down on the portion size.
Got it.
You cut the meat as thin as possible. And that's what I did. And, you saw this picture of the sandwich.
Okay, yeah. So if you go click on podcast, you can see all the pictures, you can see. So what kind of bread is this?
It's a hoagie roll from Panera.
Okay, all right, got it.
It's about an 8-inch roll, the actual size of it. Jimmy John's loaves come in foot rolls, foot long baguettes, so maybe a little longer, but you cut those in half, or you can cut it into quarters or thirds to make your sandwiches if you have dietary restrictions. But once a week, I'll eat a whole one of those if I use those, or I'll have a tortilla wrap. But when you look at the picture, you'll think, Jesus, that's a lot. And it is a lot because it's only 2 cups of cut slaw mix. And you can thin that out and make it a sandwich for 2 people or you cut it in half and have a half a sandwich and whatever else you want to eat, a cup of fruit. The melons are beautiful right now. We've been eating a lot of those.
Okay, so the first thing we're talking about, if you want the flavor but not a lot of the calories, first thing you do is thin out the beef. And so, I mean, can you still get, because I can hear everybody groaning when they hear that, oh, come on, enough of this stuff, boys. We don't listen to food shows to be told not to put meat on it. But how much meat do you really need, a quarter pound of it, right? Do you really need that? I mean, to give it the taste.
Yeah.
I guess that's the question. So.
But 4 ounces, I mean, that's a quarter pound burger at McDonald's, for Christ's sakes, 4 ounces. And that fills people up, but it's also the bread and all that. But yeah, 4 to 6 ounces is usually what I eat with chicken or fish or even meat. If we do burgers, I'll have a burger, 4 to 6 ounce burger, but I won't have any bun with it. I'll just slather it with, sauteed onions, and, those onions are sauteed in about a teaspoon of olive oil, which is very healthy for you. And you saute them as much as you want. If you want to caramelize them, you cook them on medium heat and keep stirring them, and they get darker. And what onions do when they're sauteed is they release the sugars in the onion. I had a customer at Sanders in the old days from Canada, and she had our French onion soup, and she says, "How much sugar did you put in here? This is too sweet." And I started laughing. I says, "I don't put sugar in my own." Well, taste this. I says, "I know, I taste it every day. It's the sugar is released from caramelizing onions. That's what makes it sweet." And she went, "Oh."
Oh, we didn't know that.
Yeah. But, you know, that's 2 flavors, from a raw onion to a caramelized onion. And I like raw onions too, believe me. And so, you know, there are ways you can cook vegetables that give you different results from it too.
Got it.
I know it doesn't seem like a lot. And, you know, when it comes to steak, It's you know, a 4 ounce filet mignon is, you know, yeah, that's fantastic. But an 8 ounce one better. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with you.
But, you know, that's just the way I have to roll now. But I don't lose any flavor, folks. You know.
Because that's
the way to add some punch to whatever I do. So does Beth. I mean, she breaks out like you do if she eats something that has chemicals in it. And that's why you have to read your labels. And even if you're, you know, a healthy Marine man, and like your son is, and who can eat everything, you still should read the labels and start figuring out, you know, what's healthier for you, even though you eat big volumes of food. Eat healthier. That's all. You can still eat as much, you know, when you burn as many calories as John does. You need that fuel. And carbohydrates are one of those things that you need in your body if you're active. So
all right, here's an email question. I find it interesting that you guys are talking about the subject. I have a son that has had to have a special diet for years. Wheat, I think, is the main culprit. And I, like Mac, have gone down that road too. At first, I just thought it was some kind of skin irritation. Slowly but surely, though, enough people mentioned it to me that it was probably diet that I began to investigate and do things with my diet. And lo and behold, as I began to eliminate wheat from my diet, these rashes I got, as well as other things I didn't think were related to that, went away. I then started researching wheat, and I was astounded to find that the percent of the population that cannot consume wheat. Pretty amazing to me. Pretty amazing to me. I appreciate the efforts here. I think it resonates with more people than either one of you two know. Love the show. Welcome home, Mac. Enjoyed your programs with your boys. I will echo something that somebody said in an email I heard you read. You can hear it in your voice when you guys are together. Well done. Thanks for sharing. You know, I've heard that. I didn't think our voices changed that much, but evidently they do. And again, I think it's just your happiness, right? Like I was talking to somebody about the best pictures I ever take are with my kids, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's a great picture. You have a great smile. Then you see me in another picture. It's like, what is that? Like, yeah, I'm trying to smile. I can't. Like, there's some people that can. Like, my ex-wife, she can smile, like, boom, on command. Like, I tell Jack to sit. If you say smile, she busts out this crushing smile. I have a son, Patrick, that has a smile that I don't know why he's never made money off of it, because he certainly could. He's got this money smile. And,
yeah, he does. He does. He's had it since he's been washing dishes.
Yeah. Oh, he had it since he's a little guy.
Yeah.
But the voice thing is the same thing with the smile. It's just your inner happiness coming through. I will say this. I've been surprised all of a sudden you start having to watch what you eat and stuff like that. And all these people say, yeah, I got to do the same thing.
Yeah. Well, and it all started with Swanson TV dinners, as far as I'm concerned, because they had to put so much sodium in there, and not only to make the food taste the way it should, but to preserve it. You know, in the old days, they used to salt fish, and so they can have it all winter, and then they have to reconstitute the fish after it dried out and get rid of all the salt and bring it back to life. So yeah, it's been around a long time.
You know, I used to love Swanson TV dinners. They had like it was a piece of fried chicken.
Yeah.
It was a piece of fried chicken, and let's see, what else was there? There was mashed potatoes and corn.
Corn, yeah.
Oh my God! I used to love that.
Well, my favorite Swanson was the turkey dinner, and you get the turkey, the dressing, the gravy, the mashed potatoes, the vegetable, corn or mixed, whatever it was, and then there's a little square when they got real swank that had a little dessert in it.
That apple, you know, apple thing, right?
Apple compote, yeah.
You know what? And then,
thought, oh God, I'm done. And Wednesday night was bowling night for my parents, and that's what we ate. We got to eat TV dinners.
You know what? And then some genius said, "Let's create the Hungry Man dinner."
Oh yeah.
And that was everything, just more of it. And one of the
just double down.
You know, back in the day when I was a kid, I mean, you could count the times that you went out to dinner, you know, in a month on easily on one hand. easily on the ham because fast food had not been invented yet. And you didn't, I mean, when you went out to dinner, it was like a, it was like an important occasion. But a big deal was we're going to have TV dinners and we're going to get to eat them on the TV tray and watch TV.
God, that's right, the TV tray.
The TV tray, oh, man.
How many, how much time did you spend with a TV tray in front of you eating something out of the oven? And I don't even think microwaves were invented yet.
No, God, no, nobody ever, nobody even knew what the word was. But yeah, when you got
in the dictionary.
Yeah, when Corporal Punishment Kathleen.
Yeah.
When she, my mom, first of all, she's a great cook, but my sisters just were going through some stuff and sent a picture of her. And she's a beautiful woman. And, but you know, my mom used to, she had three kids and she used to volunteer. She was a candy striper at Mercy Hospital in Sacramento, California. She put on her pink stripe, kind of jumper thing. And her white blouse, right? Her white blouse and her white shoes. And she would go and she would take, they had a cart with magazines and different things that they'd go around the hospital and see if either patients or family members wanted that stuff. My mom used to do that. She had three kids at home. She used to do that.
Yeah.
But, I'm not sure what we're talking about. I lost my train of thought.
We're talking about having TV dinners when you're
When Corporal Punishment Kathleen would bust out the TV trays, that meant, yeah, tonight's going to be a good night. We're going to get to watch TV. And, you know, when you had TV, when you had dinner, the TV was off, right? Everybody came to the table. You said grace. And you ate as a family. And TV trays, man. I was all about the TV tray. I love those things. So
and fish sticks. You remember fish sticks?
Come on, I'm Catholic. Are you kidding me? I was born with a fish stick in my
mouth. Born with a fish stick instead of a rattle.
instead of a rattle, I had a fish stick in my incubator. That's no shit, too.
Oh God, that's funny. It was still frozen, so you just
gnawed
on it.
No, and let me tell you, the other thing that my mother made was cream tuna, canned tuna fish. I don't know how she made the white sauce and peas, and then you you toast a piece of bread, you ladle the cream tuna over. That was another Friday night. It was one of the two. We were not eating halibut and shark and things like that. We were eating fish sticks, and then I don't know what happened in the frozen food section, but all of a sudden Mrs. Paul started making fish sticks, and they were fish fillets. But that was later in life for me. When I was a kid, I'll tell you what, you take fish sticks, and you dump a bunch of salt on them, and have a whole lot of ketchup. Come on, man, that was awesome food.
You put you right in the front row as a kid.
Exactly. Loving that stuff. Can I have some more, Mom? Wait, I have a second batch in the oven. Okay. Somebody just sent me this. Mac, this is what I eat. They're called bean fields, bean chips, black beans with sea salt.
Yes.
And so the little pitch goes, black bean and sea salt is proving that beans are the new black. The days of hollow-calorie, mass-produced chips are over. This sleek and trim chip is bold and full of flavor, making it the premier taste bud accessory for any season. See, the reason I need some kind of chip is because I love salsa. Chips are just like how I scoop the salsa into my mouth, right?
Yes.
And so
well, that's just a vehicle. That's all the chip is. The vehicle.
Same thing. So I can participate in the guacamole festival. That's the other thing. Yeah. So I got to have that one. So yeah.
Or hummus or
yeah,
chickpeas.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, all of that is it. Without that, my diet's considerably different. Without that stuff in my diet. Considerably different. It's amazing, as a matter of fact. So, Anyway, the All Marine Radio head chef with us this morning. We're talking food.
hold on.
Favorite, this is under the guise of favorite TV dinner. And this was my, this is probably number two for me. Salisbury steak.
Oh, yes.
Salisbury steak. Oh, yes. And don't forget the dessert, cherry something. Yeah, it was a, it was the.
Well, it was cherry compote. Everything was a little compote. Had a couple of cherries or apples, and then a little thickened sauce there, that they were in. You know, like the filling of a cherry pie or an apple pie.
Right.
But put in about a 2-inch square on your foil.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, a 2-inch square, and it had the, whatever the breaded kind of thing around the edge, and then they just injected either cherry or apple into the center, and boom, there you had it. Here's another one. This is the guise of, what did your mom serve? All right. What did your mom serve with fish sticks? Okay. This email says tater tots. Kathleen did not. I don't think we went tater tots. I think we went straight French fries.
But they were frozen French fries that were baked off in the oven.
Oh, yeah.
At least that's how it was in my house.
No, that's how it was in our house. Yeah, those things went on the cookie tray into the oven, baked those things up, and boom, another gourmet meal.
Man. And that's how we rolled as kids.
That's how it was.
That's great. But I remember that like yesterday.
All right, here's another one. Hey, Mac, I'm curious. What would be Kim's go-to substitute for soy? Because that's not an easy taste to replicate. So, Kim, what is your go-to? What is your go-to for soy?
My go-to for soy is, I have found this amino acid soy substitute, and it's, the sodium is like, I think 40, somewhere between 40 and 60 per tablespoon. That's tablespoon with a T.
Okay.
That's what I use as a substitute. Beth found it. I can't use soy. And if you eat sushi, you go out and sushi, they always have that's low sodium soy. Well, low sodium soy served in a restaurant might mean, it's only 250 mg a tablespoon instead of 650. So you're still, you know, you still have to, not do it. And for mustard, for example, you look on the mustard. I like hot mustard. Well, I found this hot mustard in the, Oriental food section, that it's a dry powder and you mix it with water. And it has, no carbs, no sugars, no, sodium in it. And it's just hot. And you use that sparingly, but that's another flavoring I use in my stir fries or instead of a canned mustard. I like, the Grey Poupon mustard.
Grey Poupon.
Grey Poupon. I don't know how much sodium is in there, but I'm going to check in a minute and let you know. But it's still, you know, I have to watch my sodium intake like nobody's business. And what I miss, my wife picks up. She's relentless. She's like your corporal punishment cat, Lee.
On it. On it like nothing.
Killer, I call her Killer Bee.
Because her name is Beth, just so you know. So she goes into her killer bee mode, and that means there's no sodium sodium getting by anybody.
Yes, ma'am.
Hold on. Here's another one. I was a huge fan of the Hungry Man dinner. I started laughing when Mac brought that up. And I did like the turkey Hungry Man. That was my go-to that my mom would get me. That dessert never seemed to turn out right, though. Sometimes a little bit well done, sometimes a little bit runny. And there was, like, a way you had to do it. It was X number of minutes with certain foil things on, and then X number of minutes with certain foil things off. Kind of got complicated.
No, I remember that. That's a good recall. Remember? Yes, that's right. You had to take off, it was in the corners.
Yep.
You had to peel up certain corners after so many minutes. So that could brown or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a good call. Yeah, I remember that one.
And you never really got that right unless you were standing out in the kitchen, right? Somebody just sent me a picture of a Hungry Man dinner. Here it is. It has the Swanson dinner with fried chicken. Had mashed potatoes with butter, right? It looks like a apple cobbler, and then mixed vegetables of peas, sliced peas, or diced carrots, peas and corn, and then two pieces of your favorite chicken. That's right. And we thought we were in the front room, got my TV dinner, going to be on my TV tray, going to go watch Bonanza. Everybody else can kiss my white ass. That's right. That's how that's working.
I'm going to watch Leave It to Beaver.
Going to go watch Happy Days and Fonzie. Oh, my God. Is that funny or what?
That is funny.
No kidding.
That's how this genetically modified food started. Okay. Grey Poupon has 120 mg of sodium.
Oh, say it ain't so.
You say it is so. 120. That's one tenth of what I can have.
That's sad.
Me one tenth.
Great.
That's a tablespoon. That's a tablespoon.
A tablespoon.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I read that wrong. It's a teaspoon.
A teaspoon. All right, so that's important for those of you that know the difference. For the rest of us, we just know they're those spoons that are in the drawer over there.
It's a soup spoon, is a tablespoon, a teaspoon, a small one is a teaspoon. Actually, it's more than that.
But if
you don't have measuring spoons, that's about as close as you're going to get.
Yeah. Hey, don't worry about it. If you're confused about the measuring spoon thing, don't worry about it, okay? Somebody else is probably taking care of that in your life, so God bless you. I know what they are, though. I'm kind of soup spoon, measuring spoon. I'm pretty good with that.
Well, that's what I usually did until Beth caught me the other day doing that with mayonnaise. Oh. She ripped it out of my hand and put a tablespoon in there. Just try this, big boy. And I'm like, geez.
Yeah.
That's not very much.
how about we dial that down?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, I was mounding it. And she was leveling it off.
There you go.
That's what that means.
All right. Here's another email. Mac, I've never been one to weigh food and things like that. Does the chef have a food scale in his kitchen that he uses to follow recipes and things like that?
Oh, heck yes.
You do?
Beth has this scale that is unbelievable. I think it cost me, I don't know, it was a lot of money, but she weighs everything. She was weighing the chicken breast the other day. Oh, this is 6 ounces. I'll take that one. This is 4 ounces. You can have this one. I think that's how that conversation went.
That's how that went. That sucks.
Yes, she weighs it out. That's why you have measuring cups. When I have cereal in the morning, I have a cup of cereal. The cereal I use, it's a cup and a half a cup of milk. You know how little a half a cup of milk is, for Christ's sakes?
I do.
I am on a liquid restriction diet. So
what does that mean?
I get 8 cups. There are 4 cups in a quart. So I get 8 cups of liquid a day. Now you tell me, you just try it one time and measure it out and see how you do.
I could do that. I could do that because do you remember when they said you got to drink all this water? And I'm like, what are you talking about, man? I drink when I'm thirsty. I could do that. I could do that without any problem. I could be dehydrated without any support. No problem.
Well, you get plenty of hydration. I do with the liquid I drink, but that means whether it's milk, anything that can melt. And you know, ice cream, milk, Jell-O,
Pepsi. What do you mean? Nah.
What you? What did you just say?
Pepsi.
Oh, Pepsi. Yeah, Pepsi. Yeah, I don't even drink pop anymore.
I don't drink so. I don't drink so much of it either. You know what I drink is I drink peach mango Crystal Light.
And
so you try to find something that's look, I can't drink straight water. I mean, come on, man. What am I? If I'm going to do that, I'll go back to drinking out of the bubbler on the public playground, man. But plain water, come on.
Plain water. I usually have about one jug of straight up water a day, and then I drink these LaCroix, and they're flavored. The one I'm drinking right now is a cherry lime, and it has no sodium, no carbs, no sugars, no proteins, and no fats. I mean, but it's
my God. Well, let me just tell you.
It's great.
That's why we're talking about this, because it's all about taste, and we need to share those assets. Here's another email. Yeah. Great conversation. When I turned it on, I thought I was going to learn how to change my diet. After listening to you and the chef reminiscing about TV dinners, it finally dawned on me why I had a heart attack. Growing up in a... growing up in the 60s, hate cream tuna. Well, that's because you never had Kathleen's cream tuna. Kathleen's cream tuna was delicious, man. I'd make that today. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah. Don't forget the pieces.
Throw a little salt on there. It was good stuff. All right, my friend. Any big plans for the weekend?
Well, there's a big street dance, right out in front of, our condos thing. They're blocking off 3rd Street and 1st Avenue. And, this spring they had, a band, that had 10,000 people downtown. in about a 2-block area.
We love it. We love that.
Yeah, and that's Saturday night, and I'll sit out on the balcony, and I will probably have a cocktail.
Ooh.
Something on the rocks, and save that portion of my liquid for a little entertainment Saturday night and watch the crazies on the street and hear some good music. I think there's a Prince cover band, and I guess they're out of Minneapolis, and they're supposed to be really, really good. So we'll see. I don't get down there and mix it up anymore, but, that's a big Saturday night.
Showbiz, baby.
And then just hanging with Miss B.
All right. All right, well, first
of all.
How about
you? What are you up to?
I'm asleep.
Yeah, recoup from the two weeks of vacation. Now, that was fun last week doing the show, by the way.
Well, now, let me just tell you, it was awesome. And I spoke about going to Bethesda, Walter Reed Bethesda National Military Medical Center on Wednesday, and being in their physical therapy area and looking at guys who one was a quadruple amputee, one was a double amputee, and they had both had arm transplants.
Great.
Yeah, and they were in there doing physical therapy, something that I don't think anybody ever thought about. You know prosthetics and whatnot, but you know that they would get arms transplanted onto their body and they would be able to use them is just mind blowing. So a very, very cool way to wrap up, and just an awesome, awesome trip. So no, it was great.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Like you said earlier, you could sure tell it in your voice when we talked last week. How excited you were to be back there.
That's starting to irritate me, just for the record, okay? I'm starting to get tired of hearing that, okay? My voice didn't change that much, so knock it off. Okay, with that said.
No, you still had an asshole voice. But there is a spark.
Ah, enough of that shit.
Well, fuck you.
All right, on that, have a great weekend. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.